You're listening to Clinical Conversations from the NEJM Group. I'm Joe Elia. Our guest is Dr. Henry Chambers, senior author on a recent study of the use of systemic antibiotics for smaller skin abscesses after incision and drainage. It appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Chambers is professor of medicine and director of clinical research services at the UCSF Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute at San Francisco General. Welcome to Clinical Conversations, Dr. Chambers.
Pleasure to be here.
Your multi-center group in this NEJM study enrolled about 800 patients with skin abscesses of 5 centimeters or smaller, and after incision and drainage, randomized them to one of three regimens, clindamycin or trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole or placebo. What were you aiming to show?
The question that we posed had to do with the additional benefit, if any, of using systemic antimicrobial therapy in patients who had undergone incision and drainage, which in current guidelines is deemed sufficient for treatment of this particular infection.
Mm-hmm.
We chose smaller abscesses, less than 5 centimeters, up to 5 centimeters, and including 5 centimeters, because it had been, in some studies, used as a cutoff of where antibiotics were thought to be of no benefit. So that was the design choice, and the question I think I've clarified what we're trying to answer.
Okay. So the guidelines said that, you know, incision and drainage was sufficient, but and you had done other studies in which you examined antimicrobial regimens without a placebo, and so this one included a placebo, and so the point of including a placebo in this study was to show that, in fact, the antibiotics had an effect, right?
Correct.
Oh,
and
okay.
The study was blinded, which was an important design feature,
mm-hmm.
so that neither the study team or the treating physician nor the patient knew whether they were receiving active drug or a placebo.
Okay. And so, briefly, what did you find?
We found that patients, whether they received trimethoprim sulfa or clindamycin, at the primary outcome visit, which was about 2 weeks after completion of the antimicrobial therapy, had fewer recurrences or development of new infection sites if they had received those antibiotics compared to placebo. So we define that as the cure rate, or the cure. Actually, we defined it as those occurrences were failure. So cure being not failure,
okay,
in this particular study.
Mm-hmm.
You had in the intention to treat population, that's when you take all comers, about an 80% cure rate with the antibiotics and about a 65% cure rate, and these are rounded numbers, in placebo patients who had IND with no active antibiotic. And the patients who showed up for follow-up and we could evaluate, those numbers were 90% for the antibiotics and on the order of 75% for placebo.
I see. So you were getting about a 15 percentage point difference in effect with the antibiotic.
Correct. And another way to look at it, you would have to treat 4 or 5 people, maybe 6, depending on the confidence interval, for one person to benefit from the additional antibiotic.
And this that 15 percentage point difference held in the intention to treat as well as in the people who were fully compliant with or adherent to the regimens or showed up.
Yeah, showed up for their follow-up visit. Compliance,
right,
overall was about 3/4 of people took all or 75% or more of their drugs.
Okay. So I was looking at your paper, my note to myself was, well, it's kind of a real world study because about half, and I think the percentage, the absolute percentage was something like, 47 or 53% of the people were fully adherent. But you were defining adherence as 75%, of the, intended dosage.
Well, that's how many it took the prescribed amount. 75% took all or at least three quarters of their recommended
Okay.
dose.
Okay. Yeah. So what surprised you about your findings? Anything?
Well, I guess I was surprised that the antibiotics made such a difference. We powered it at a 10% difference. It was a superiority trial. We chose that number because we thought, you know, if you're talking 5%, that's 1 out of 20. Well, that's not so convincing. Right. If you're talking 10%, that's 1 out of 10. That's a little more convincing. And we found a more potent effect than that. And, of course, in designing a study like this, if you believed that the antibiotics were truly better and had data to suggest that, it would be, at least some people would think, unethical not to offer an antibiotic and to have a placebo-controlled trial. So I think there were reasons to think that the antibiotics conferred very little benefit. I was surprised at the benefit that both drugs showed. So it was, you know, it was pretty convincing. Both of the drugs were better than, significantly so, than IND alone.
Now, the effect only was true for those patients with Staph aureus infections, right? I mean, for people who had non-Staph aureus infections, there was no significant effect. But to be fair, most of the infections in those patients were Staph aureus.
Yes. I can't say that was a surprise because, remember, I already admitted that I thought that there was a chance placebo would be effective all on its own. But what that tells you is that the clinically important response to antibiotics is driven by Staph aureus, which, of course, is the most common cause of skin and soft tissue infections, particularly those that cause an abscess. So it made sense. The other comforting feature, I think, was that we demonstrated in the case of clindamycin that if the isolate was Staph aureus and resistant to clindamycin, you were in effect giving placebo, pretty much confirming what we all believe but never really test, in that susceptibility testing correlates strongly with clinical outcome. And we showed that, I think, in a resounding manner with clindamycin. There wasn't resistance with trimethoprim sulfa for any of the isolates, so we couldn't test that.
Okay. So does that 15 percentage point difference seem worthy of changing people's practices?
Well, I've thought a lot about this. You know, if you look at it the other way, as a therapeutic nihilist, which is one of my favorite positions to assume, you would say, well, placebo did pretty well. You know, three patients out of four did fine without an antibiotic. And you might argue that maybe I only need to treat one out of four, but the way you discover those one out of four is that they have to come back to the doctor and they have another infection and they're going to wind up on antibiotics anyway.
Right.
So I've concluded I can't tell you what decision to make, but I can tell you the probabilities of various outcomes, because we have a placebo, of whatever decision you make. And you can inform the patient of those odds. And the placebo not only informed efficacy, but informed side effects and toxicity, because I don't know if you had noticed, we didn't really underscore it, but the adverse event rate, and they were all relatively minor, sometimes moderate adverse events, many not drug related. But the placebo adverse event rate was virtually identical to the trimethoprim sulfa adverse event rate. And clindamycin was higher than both,
right?
But overall around 10% compared to a null effect of placebo if you subtract those out.
And those side effects, the adverse effects were mostly, was it diarrhea?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any Clostridium difficile or serious complications of diarrhea. It was all self-limited. And we did have one hypersensitivity reaction to trimethoprim sulfa over, I think, 270 courses, whatever the number was.
So what would you like to, I know the guidelines are conservative about this, and you said that on the basis of, I'm just quoting from memory, but you said on the basis of current guidelines, which are based on not the best data, and now I'll stop trying to quote you, that it would seem that antibiotics have something to add to the treatment of these small abscesses.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty clear that there is, if you accept our definition of cure and failure, that there is a benefit of antibiotics that is, you know, on the order of 1 in 5, 1 in 6, 1 in 4, depending upon what the confidence interval is. It could be as much as, I think, the 95% confidence interval difference was up to 25% better with an antibiotic. There was also a secondary benefit in people who got clindamycin. We didn't observe it for trimethoprim sulfa, but we followed patients out for a month after they completed therapy. And one of the problems, if you have a staphylococcal infection, is that those tend to recur at a later time in some proportion of patients. And we were able to cut that recurrence rate down significantly by half or more. So there was a post-antibiotic effect, if you will, that persisted for up to a month and preventing later recurrences.
And that was not one of the primary outcomes you were after, but that's something that you observed.
Yes, it was pre-specified as an exploratory secondary outcome, but no, it wasn't our primary outcome.
So what would you like to see happen next week? Would you like to see those guidelines change? What's your hope, Dr. Chambers?
Well, I think the guidelines need to be rewritten.
Yeah, okay. that's putting it straight. You're good. All right.
And ours isn't the only study that's shown this. There was a companion study by our colleagues in UCLA with the senior author Dave Tallon, who found very similar results with trimethoprim sulfa. So now we have two high-quality, randomized controlled clinical trials, double-blind, placebo. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right?
right.
And they both say the same thing.
Yeah.
I think the question is, there is benefit, but how do you evaluate whatever downside or adverse event rate there is? And one thing that is clear is that if patients didn't receive antibiotics, nothing horrible happened to them. They didn't wind up in the hospital at any higher rate. Of course, there were no side effects that are really drug attributable. It just reflected whatever the background adverse event rate is. So you could say, well, you know, you do pretty well without antibiotics, and I'll just give them to you if you really need them. And if you really need them, by my definition, is you don't get better with the IND alone or you have a second infection.
Yeah.
I don't think that's unreasonable, but I would guess if you gave most patients the option of not having to deal with skin and soft tissue infection that looked like it was pretty simple, and I could give you a 90% versus a 75% comparative cure rates, I think you'd go for the 90%.
Yeah, I certainly would. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time with us today, Dr. Chambers.
All right. You're very welcome.